One of the most difficult things sometimes in speaking is actually knowing how to start. And when I was thinking about this talk, what came into my head was something very old. A radio programme for the under fives called Listen With Mother. Hands up anybody who remembers? Yes. The rest of you, it was 15 minutes, nursery rhyme song, little talk, another song. And what happened was, the voice on the radio said, "It's now time for the story. Are you sitting comfortably?" So at which stage my little brother used to wiggle his bum furiously and go, "Yes." And then she'd say, "I would begin." So this morning, imagine it. It's time for the talk. Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Oh, you lot are lovely. Because the talk is on prophecy. And please, don't switch off thinking this is for the super spiritual, only for the giants. It ain't like that at all. Because if you read what Paul wrote, he said, "I wish that you could all prophesy." It was a gift that's open to all of us. Whether it happens or not, that depends on God, not on us. But nobody who knows Jesus as Lord is ruled out from this one. And basically, it just comes from our relationship. So what I'm going to do this morning is just to ramble on a bit about prophecy in the hope that by the end of it, you'll be wanting to do a bit more of it. Okay, so what is prophecy? It's predicting or proclaiming, as simple as that. It's either speaking out something that God has said is going to happen, or it's speaking out God's views on something, good or bad, you know. I could fill up the whole of the rest of this talk just giving you illustrations of this. But think, every Christmas we read, a virgin will conceive and bear a son. That was said hundreds of years before Jesus. Or if you open the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah goes, "And enemies are going to come and destroy Jerusalem." That happened 40 years before it actually came about. Or the things that are said. What about, what does God want but to do you to do the right thing, to love mercy and to walk humbly with God? That's Micah. Or there's an absolutely gorgeous little bit in a little book called Zephaniah where it says, "With his love, God will calm your fears. He will rejoice over you with singing." You know, I mean, this is what we're talking about. Because, you see, prophecy's been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. I mean, if you open your Bible and look down the list of books, you'll see how different they are. You've got the big ones like Isaiah and Jeremiah, but they spent about the best part of 60 years doing prophecies. And then you've got just ones like Malachi or Nahum, and it seems that God only gave them just one thing that was really important. So, you know, it's a varied thing. And when you come to the New Testament, it's still the same. Most of what we know about prophecy is because the people in Corinth got it wrong, and Paul wrote to them and said, "Hey, you lot, this is how it should be. You know, this is how it works." And again, you know, there is prediction there. Paul was told before it happened that he was going to be imprisoned by a guy called Agabus, gave him it. And I suppose today most of the stuff we get is encouragement, but there are still predictions. Way back in the 1980s in Bristol, a guy who's house group leader actually gave me a prophetic word. He said that I would speak out of my weakness and my failure and be a means of blessing other people. It didn't happen, and I more or less forgot about it. But then recently I found that prophecy in my Bible, and I've realised it actually has happened. I mean, the fact that I'm sat up here talking to you now is proof enough as far as I'm concerned. It just doesn't happen the way we think sometimes. But I can't say enough. This isn't for the spiritually elite, the goodies. It's open to all of us. Oh, where do I go from here? Oh, one thing I forgot to say. It is sometimes helpful if you actually ask God if he'd like to say anything. You know, because just opening ourselves up to God and saying, okay, Lord, I'm available, is sometimes all that God needs. And I've been asked this morning to try and give you some examples of the way it works for me, so that's what I'm going to try and do. Okay, start with, how do we hear God? And I've asked one or two of you around this, and it varies. Feelings up to a point. Some people it starts with words. For some it's a picture. For somebody else it's something that comes out of worship. For me, it's a collection of a lot of them. It can come from Bible reading, watching TV, a song, something seen out of the window. Okay, like, e.g., when Harvey and Denise were made elders, I asked God for something, and what he gave me started with the Bible. As your days, so shall your strength be. Another time, I was watching TV and the song came on, You'll Never Walk Alone. And out of that, God gave me a prophecy about the fact that it's true, Jesus is always with us. Another time, as I lay in bed in the morning, I looked out at my clothesline and there'd been a really heavy dew. And the clothesline looked like a diamond necklace. The sun was just shining. It was amazing. And God said, that's an illustration of the difference that the light of my presence can make. You know. Or another one that I really struggled with. Just before a prayer meeting here, I said, anything you want to say, Lord? And God said, I'm bored with shopping lists. What I would really like are two-way conversations. Believe me, I didn't want to say that. In fact, the temptation to make it into a little talk about prayer was immense, you know, but God doesn't want us to do that. If he only gives us a little thing, that's okay, that's what we give. That doesn't mean to say that sometimes God gives us something and we can sort of go away and God will add to it. But please try to make sure that it's God, not what we think. How do we do this? It's not just enough how we feel. Yes, emotions are important, but it's not enough. This can be an urge to speak. Yes, that's fine. But checking whether it's God or not, the best way out, does it agree with what the Bible says? You know, I mean, this one is, I can't stress this one enough. That is our guideline. does it agree with the Bible? And the other thing is, the Bible tells us to weigh prophecy, to check it. What does that mean? Ask somebody else. You know, sorry, folks, just as simple as that. And I don't know, have you noticed that here at SCR, that quite often before somebody comes out to give something, somebody sneaks up to like Martin or Harvey, whoever's leading, checking out whether it's God and whether it's God's timing. Because if we can trust God to speak to us, then surely we can trust God to speak to our leadership to confirm it. You know, dead simple, really. I think actually, probably when I sort of talk about taking things to leaders, that I suspect for some people they can almost be one of the harder things. And I mean, face it, we can get it right or we can get it wrong. I've done both, big time. Okay, an example. Way back in my Bristol days, I was at a house group meeting, and in the middle of it, God dropped something into my head. In those days, believe it or not, in those days, I never said anything to anybody. I sat in a corner. And so I went home and sort of, oh, God, is it? And I felt it was. So the next week, I went to the house group leader and said, God's given me this. His reaction absolutely devastated me. He said, oh, yes, you're right, that's God. But it's only for you, it's not for the rest of us. And I'm sorry, I knew he was wrong, you know. But I didn't have either the courage or the maturity to go to him and say, could we talk about it? I crawled away into a corner and didn't do anything else about the next 30 years. Don't follow my example, you know, but this is the wrong way of doing it. The right way, well, can remember way back some years ago now when Peter and Christine Gort were still here, they started a series on exploring prophecy, and I really felt that God wanted me to go be part of it. But I had a problem. Peter and Christine scared the living daylights out of me. By the way, it's not like that now. I go and visit them every year. You know, it's great. But that's how it was then. And in the end, I did something that was very unusual for me. I phoned Peter and I said, it's like this. I really feel I should be coming, but I'm not sure whether I can cope with you. Can I come just once, please, and see how I get on? I mean, which I'm sorry, it was an awful thing, but Peter, bless his heart, took that exactly as it was. And, you know, for weeks and weeks and weeks, they'd have a meeting, and everybody'd chip in, except me. And at the end of it, Peter turned round and said, have you got anything to say, Wendy? And that was the beginning of building my confidence, you know, and hey presto. Well, that's almost it. I've just got one other thing to add. Timing is important. It's ever so difficult when you get something, you know, you want to get rid of it straight away. The most I've ever held on to something was 10 weeks, that nearly, oh boy. But the timing can be important. And I've got permission to share this, by the way. Not long ago, Martin talked on finance. I asked God for something. I got something, but it just didn't seem right that day. So off I went. So the next week I came and Julie gave my little bit. Afterwards, somebody, bless their heart, came up and said, what had been going on was Martin's talk had reminded them that their finances had altered a little bit, but they hadn't actually got round to altering their tithe. was it really worth the effort for a little bit, you know? And before it was quite decided, Megan's here stood up and said, God says, put your money where your mouth is. Problem solved. You know, it's as simple as that. Well, that's it, folks. As simple as that. We started with Paul saying, I wish that you could all prophesy. If he was here this morning and he stood here and he said that, what would your response be?